Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen's been raining off my cup. Pink via deckables to see Kalein fire them to up. Gate me canes a flint. The tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part one of my live podcast, my interview with Modi. Yeah, it was just on, but we never finished our conversation because we both had a heart out, and so we decided to finish it live at the Midnight Theater. And it was an epic night and it was sold out and you are going to really, really enjoy it. I know a lot of you will be in the car traveling and airports. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I think it's, you know, also while I have you in the beginning, before you just turn it off, I want to let you know that on Christmas Day, which is very, 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 very soon, I will be doing a Very Judy Christmas at Stand Up New York, which is in New York City. So if you hate your families or you're just like, you need to get the fuck out or whatever, you know, please come to Stand Up New York. I'm trying to look up exactly what time it is. I think it's the doors open at 6:00. And there are plenty of Chinese restaurants around there. I thought they were going to bring in China. There's one right across the street, Cottage, which is great. But it's going to be a great show. Liz Glazer's on the show, who I just worked with. And we just did a show, she, John Fish, and I, at the South Orange Performing Arts Center, another sold-out show, which was fantastic. And, you know, it's amazing because, as you know, I'm Jewish. And Jews are showing up in droves to comedy shows because we need to laugh. It is a coping mechanism, one that we have used for thousands of years. So listen, if you can't stand your family, if you just need to get the fuck out and laugh, if whatever, December 25th, I think the doors open at 7. I'm trying to, it's not in my calendar. I don't know why. Anyway, so that's December 25th. Please come. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, want you to know that I will be at City Winery in New York on January 12th, and then City Winery in Philadelphia on January 13th. And I know it is Martin Luther King Day, the 15th, and I always get booked on holiday weekends and people go away. So it's you better get your asses there. And then January 19 and 20, I'm at Off Cabot Comedy Club in Beverly, Massachusetts. So there's places for you people to come see me, okay? So I'm just letting you know, get your asses out there. What else did I have to tell you? Yeah, Hanukkah's over. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Please to put a penny in the... New Year's is coming. It's Elise's birthday, New Year's. But, and we still continue on with this rampant, inexcusable anti-Semitism, misinformation, horrible, horrible shit going on in the Middle East. It's terrible. We have to destroy Hamas because they are the enemy. That's all I have to say. I mean, you know how I feel. None of us want any innocent people dying, but the anti-Semitism is what, and I was thinking about it, you know, you think about a lot of the holidays. There's one line during the Passover Seder, which is, you know, you need to, I don't know what the exact line is. It's something about you are going to act as if you were the one who was freed from Egypt. And, you know, we have all these holidays that are, a lot of them celebrate that we've overcome oppression, people trying to kill us or exterminate all of us. And we won, and then we eat. You know, it's a joke. It's a joke. But you know what? I was thinking about it. It's happened in generation to generation has dealt with anti-Semitism, and it's our turn. It's our turn, and it's a terrible situation. But we're going to survive. We're going to survive. We've like we survived before. We didn't know that this was going to fall on our shoulders. We didn't know how, but it never went anywhere. And it's apparently not going anywhere. And it's our turn. And we're going to do great. Just like all the people before us. We're going to do it. So that's all I have to say. I'm trying to be positive. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for you listening. I really hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. I don't know when Kwanzaa is, but I hope you have a Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever holidays you celebrate. I just want everyone, I want there to be peace, peace, peace in my house too. Like I don't want anyone fighting in my house. You know, we don't fight that much anymore. We used to fight all, every time I would ask my mother what she wanted for her birthday, when we were growing up, she would say, all I want is peace in this house. I want you kids to get along. Well, I want the world to get along. So there we are. Thank you for listening. Sit back right now, or if you're driving, don't sit back, look straight ahead, and enjoy part one of my conversation with Bodhi. Welcome, everyone! I'm Judy Gold. This is Bodhi.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is all we've been singing in the back. Yep. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
She's like, why did she bring Seth Rudetsky on?
Oh, that's funny. Listen, let's go through all the Christmas songs right now. Everyone written by a Jew.
Okay.
Okay. I'm dreaming of a
white Christmas.
I thought you went to cantorial school.
I don't know what any of these songs. Oh my God, can I tell you a funny
story?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So, as you know, there's a war.
And, what?
There's a war, yes. And I've been doing fundraisers, and at the end of the show, I sing Hatikva. and we were doing this fundraiser for Hatzalah, and I brought on this member of Hatzalah and somebody that was at the in the kibbutz, and it was a whole sad thing, and then I sang Hatikva, and then the woman turns to me and goes, and now the Star Spangled Banner.
No.
So I go, who's singing that? She goes, you. And I said, oh, and they just, the DJ hits the track, and I have no, I don't know any of the words. And my husband comes forward and goes, and the rock, and I'm like, and her sister's name Blair. And they paid the mortgage so we can all live there. I didn't know any of the words. I felt so bad. I went home and learned it. That's how bad I felt.
Oh,
I
my
live in America.
God.
I didn't know any
You're like
words.
Trump. He didn't know the words either. Remember? He was doing that. He doesn't know the words either. Oh, my God. That must have been awful.
It was so weird. I made it up.
But you moved here when...
I did my Haftorah.
You moved here from Tel Aviv when you were 7.
Okay, you make it like as if I got my paperwork together and left.
No.
My parents moved here.
Okay, you were moved here when you were 7 with your parents,
yes.
Okay? You were not escaping anywhere. Okay, but you would think you would know the Star Spangled Banner. We had to sing it.
All I remember is I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America for which it stands. Oh, I forgot that one too.
Oh my God.
I'm horrible and I love America.
Not that much.
I have to learn it.
So, Modi, there's a lot to talk about tonight. There's a lot to talk about. But I have my trusty little notebook here. We talked a lot about you growing up on the last podcast.
Yes,
about,
yes.
Coming
one of the
here.
Best interviewers on podcasts, by the way.
Oh, Modi.
One of the best. She was organized. She hit. She didn't ask questions, like schleppy questions.
So how'd you get started
in
comedy?
Yeah, where do you get your material
from? Who are your influences? Yeah. You people better lighten up. You're not laughing
those questions
that much.
I answer those questions. Who's your influence? Adolf Eichmann. That's who.
Yeah.
I just throw them off. When they give you a horrible question, give them a horrible answer.
I can't say. This is the worst. Tell me a little bit about what it's like being a woman in comedy. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
My God. You should say, how would I know?
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Exactly. Just how would I know? Yeah.
It's really bad. I hate bad interviews. Anyway, what we learned about you on the first podcast was that you never intended to be a comedian.
Ever.
You never intended to be a performer, period. You didn't even realize that you were a talented singer until you auditioned for Fiddler on the Roof in high school.
Right.
And yet you were obsessed with the conservative cantor at your local synagogue. Is that correct? You would go...
Yes.
And something drew. So when you went to college... Wait, I have it here. Don't even tell me. Do not tell me. When you went to college, you majored in psychology and voice.
Yeah.
And then ended up working at Merrill Lynch.
Correct. A nice Jewish boy. That's what you do.
Now, when I had been around a while and you had just started, and I do remember you vividly. You would come into the clubs...
In a suit.
In the most beautiful.
Gorgeous suits.
Armani suits.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh, I'm going to have cold sesame noodles
like
for dinner.
Yeah. Hamper. They all just like came out of a hamper. Hi, good to be here. And I'm like killing it. I killed it.
You killed it in the look. Not on stage.
No, I was good. I was so over the top up front.
Oh my God. In the beginning, you would just scream. But you were so into it.
I would do these over the top characters and just accents
All right, this is a bad question.
All material I could not do today, by the way. Thank you so much.
What's the most embarrassing bit that you would never do today?
You can't even say Oriental anymore, can you?
No, unless you're referring to salad dressing or a rug or something.
I can't even talk about what I... But it was a different time. It was 1994-5
right.
when I started. Yeah. Baruch atah Adonai Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaroy.
What the fuck? That's... it. Wait, so there's...
I always make a blessing before I drink or eat.
Is that true?
Always.
What, do you think that's an OCD thing or you think that's
I think it's... No, it's not OCD. It's such an amazing little thing to just... Did you see what happened? A lovely young woman just came and gave me a cup of coffee. It's Mashiach energy just happened right in front of your face. I just got a coffee that I requested before coming on. Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm just thinking about how I asked for water and I didn't get shit. So
they gave you a Jerichon. What a Jerichon?
A Fiji underneath.
How do you say who's Israeli here? Just caught Jerichon. That's
okay. I don't want the Israelis acting like you're better than us, like you always do. You know, like Ben, my son Ben did the Maccabi games last year, and they're like Maccabi, and it's really annoying where you think you know everything and you don't. Okay, so that's really an interesting thing.
Can I tell you a quick funny story?
Yeah.
One time I took, when my husband Leo comes with me to events, so we're doing a fundraiser for a school in Long Island, and he's like looking around, they're raising millions of dollars, and everybody looks like, you know, Van Cleef, Rolex, Audemars, gorgeous. And he's like, what are they raising money for? And I'm like, I don't know, they have sports. And he goes, they play sports, their kids? I'm like, yeah. He goes, are they any good? I said, yeah, when they play against other Jewish kids,
yeah,
they're very good.
Exactly.
They're playing against PS 33 in Harlem. They're not going to be very good.
I don't know if you knew that the Maccabi games now, one of the most competitive, what are the most competitive?
Maccabi, the way you just
Maccabi games. One of the most competitive sports, they actually have an accounting. You have to do a tax return in under 30 minutes, and it's like really complicated. It's corporate, personal. It's the whole thing.
Is that a bit of yours?
Hysterical. I do that in my bit. I find that interesting. I find that is a, you know, look, we have a very OCD religion in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong, which I'm sure you will, but people who are overly, like the Hasidim, okay, and the Lubavitch, and what are those ones who hate Israel that stand there with
Turekarta?
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with them?
They're getting money from Iran.
Oh,
they look like Hasidim,
right?
And they are getting money from Iran, so they're just to say that Israel shouldn't exist.
And do they practice Judaism?
Yes, they do. And then, but they just run around saying Israel shouldn't exist until the Messiah comes, and we all know that Mashiach is here,
right?
Mashiach is here. We just have to create the energy that like that coffee. And, you know, yes, Mashiach is here.
Okay. So I always feel like people who are that religious, like where every, you know, every little thing, you know, I know these are basic things, but, you know, I broke both of my legs, but I'm not going to take the elevator because it's Shabbat. You know, like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll wait for a goy to come in and press the button and whatever. Okay.
Right, yeah.
And I think that all that kind of behavior where I have to follow every rule also translates to why people are in those culty cults. I think they're cultish. Translates into the fact that they're not open to other lifestyles. I hate that word, but they're taught what to think. They don't want to think on their own. They want to say, okay, this person is this. What does my rabbi think of this? What does my priest think of this? What does my religion say about that? Okay, that's what I think about it. Don't you agree? It's a lazy way of. I don't think Judaism is lazy.
I think it's a
thinking person's religion.
It's
but
funny. I have a new bit that I'm working on. Is this recorded?
Are we yes, it's recorded.
Oh, so never mind. I'm not doing it.
No, it's not recorded.
First of all, every Jew is in his own way. Some of them are born into this situation, and they grow up, and even they have to dress the whole thing, and they get married, and now they're working for their father-in-law, and you can't judge them. You can't.
Oh, I can judge them.
Yeah, but where's that going to get us?
No. I'm just saying there are people who, instead of following their gut or what they really feel, what they do is they decide, well, I can't like you or I can't talk to you because I disagree with this about you because that's what my religion says.
I don't come across that as much as you do, I guess. I don't know. I perform for people who know I'm gay. I perform for Hasidic organizations where there's mechitza. There's the men on one side, women on the other.
I
and
really,
the guy literally says to me in Yiddish,
before I get on stage, kick nicht rein die Augen von der weibischen. Don't look at the eyes of the women when you're doing the comedy. So I'm standing there, and the wall is here, and I'm doing the show like this, angled to the men, not looking at the women's section.
And oh you God. Do that.
They pay amazing.
Right.
They cut checks that are insane.
That is what I don't see. That is the difference between you and I.
She'd be up there in a heartbeat, not looking at any. I promise you.
No, my son is here. My son is here. Where's my son, Henry?
He'd make you
Henry,
do it.
Henry, would I do
yes,
it?
Yes, I need a new car.
Would I do it? Oh,
thank
shut
you.
Up,
Good
Henry.
Good for you. Good for you.
That is not true.
And you're making Jews
and
laugh.
And also, let me tell you something.
It's good coffee.
I want some coffee. You should. May I please have some coffee? It's only 7:30. 8 o'clock's my limit. All right, but no. But seriously, you should be looking at the guys. Because
I am.
I mean, you should be looking at the women.
Why?
Because you're not attracted to the women.
So, but that, blah, 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 blah.
That's why I said when I get patted down at the airport, it should be like a gay guy patting
me down.
By the way,
they pat you down so hard now. I literally
came
on the guy's arm the other day. I literally, no, where's Leo? Where's my husband? They were in his crotch. They were literally like in his.
Oh, they do that to me. They go right in.
Right in.
Yeah. I hate that.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
I have talked to you extensively about when you came out, how you came out. And, you know, there is this sort of thought like, okay, so I came out very early because I had Henry. Henry was born and I had all this material and
I was at his bris.
Yes, you were. Yes.
Just don't think we just met.
But
we know each other.
I was like one, I think the first to come out in the mainstream clubs. There were many gay right. comics who were out, but I had been working only in the mainstream clubs at this point. Came out as a gay parent, and it definitely had an effect on my career. And I knew all the comics who were gay, you know, who were working in the straight, who were in the closet. And I never judge, I don't judge, you know, it's their time, whatever your time is. But you were a different, you weren't really in the closet when we were all hanging out. Like we all knew, but you did have, sometimes you did have a girlfriend.
I had here and there. But I was mostly gay. The comics all knew I was gay.
Right.
And at the table, at the comics table at the Comedy Cellar, which is like just recentering some, you know, and they all knew I was gay. But on stage, my material wasn't gay because my material was Jewish.
Right, was, same, it, yeah,
and
same.
Even now, my material, when I start doing gay material, it's more about being married to a millennial than
right.
it is about being gay. You know, so it's not... it's
right. So, you know, for me, you know, I came out on stage when Henry was born. I came out because of him. But it was precisely because of him that it made it easier for me to come out. Because people were more open to hearing about me being a gay parent and all the stuff about, you know, rather than like, you know, fingering my girlfriend.
Right.
I knew that would turn you all off. But that, you know, so, but you have an extra layer because you are performing for, and this is where, I mean, I have feelings about this. You're performing for people who do not support, actually put money where it affects LGBTQ people against LGBTQ. You know, they give money to organizations, they vote for candidates, they support candidates who are against LGBTQ. And I know that you are trying to make a living and these people get your jokes, but did you ever feel like, you fucking...
No. I'm being honest with you, I'm not being chutzpah dick to you, I'm telling you, no. I get up in front of the audience. I see the audience. I do what has to be done. I get them to laugh. I feel so blessed I can do that. And by the way, I have a better time than anybody else. When I'm on stage and I'm having a better time than anybody else. And, you know, again, my career has changed to me doing theaters where they're buying a ticket to see me
right.
from where I used to be brought in to an event.
Right, right.
Right? So now,
they know what to expect.
But now you look out and you see Hasidic people, you see young Israel yarmulkes, you see completely irreligious
right.
Jews and Sephardic and Ashkenazi, and they don't care. They don't care. The ones that care and it's a problem for them, they're not coming out to the show. They're not.
It's amazing because they did care. And, you know, when I was, I noticed that they did care. And I don't know. It could
you
be
also,
because I'm a woman.
You do curse when you're on stage.
Yeah.
They care more about that than they do about you fingering your girlfriend.
Right.
They don't want to hear the F and the S word.
Okay, but I grew up in New Jersey, and that's part. That's like and the.
I grew up in
okay?
New Jersey.
That is true. Yeah, but you know, my mother used to say, Judith, why do you have to curse so much? Bill Cosby never cursed in his act, okay? I also didn't drug and rape women. So, but by the way, I did ask for coffee. Nothing. Just so you know. What it's like. This is what it's like.
Because it's Mashiach energy. You have to believe in the coffee. You can't just...
Yeah.
Coffee doesn't just show up. It's delicious. It's getting close to your curfew, caffeine curfew,
shut up.
Too.
I know. Thank you. Okay, so you were in this unique position because you were doing stand-up at the clubs
yeah.
and you were doing these Jewy gigs, right?
And hot guys all at the same time.
Okay, I don't need to know that.
No, I would really do like a synagogue gig, come into the city and do the Comedy Cellar, where it's like, you know, a regular audience. I remember one week, I'll never forget this one week I had on my calendar. It was so insane. It was like a Hasidic organization, a not so religious organization, the Comedy Cellar, and then BET's Comic View. I was one of two non-black comedians that was on the, did I say that right? That was on the
no,
lineup.
I can't say black anymore.
I don't know what you can say
yeah,
anymore,
yeah.
But there was two white comedians. I was one of them.
Right.
And there were 60 other comedians that were not white.
That were people of color.
Of color, okay.
Yes.
And that was on the same week. And that was, I just need to see the audience a little bit and I know what I got to do.
Right.
That's it. That's my special is called Know Your Audience. That's coming out.
Oh, I have that. Yes, I have that in here. the thing that you were doing was, I remember when you would come out in the clubs in New York, you'd be, oh, Modi's talking about his, you know.
Never spoke about a girlfriend.
No, his boyfriend. Oh. I'm saying you were out in the clubs in New York,
yeah.
And yet you were doing these like really orthy. The fact, and they had no idea because they didn't run in the same circles.
Right.
So you were.
But when now when they did find out,
right.
They didn't give a damn. So
I
it's
don't
true.
Get
it's true.
It. They,
I, okay, yes. I know where you're going. I see where you're going. Okay. I'm performing for these Orthodox audiences, but don't forget, I'm not living with them. So I'm performing for a yeshiva in Flatbush, right? And I don't live there. My kids don't go to that school. I'm done. I disappear. I'm the great comic. They heard that night. We had a great time. I wasn't in their world, you know.
Right.
But I am in their world. Any. Syrian Jews think I'm Syrian. Hasidic Jews think I'm one of them. The Ashkenazi think I'm Ashkenazi. Sephardi think I'm Sephardi. Everyone thinks I'm them, which is great. It's a great feeling. It's a great way to know your audience. And but they, I wasn't in their world like that.
But do you think, as a lesbian, I had a really hard time. I would be booked. No, I booked. I did every Jewish gig in the entire world. I've always been an outspoken, proud Jew.
Right.
Thank you. I mean, I go to Alabama and talk about my Jewish mother. I was like, and I would get criticized constantly. I remember I did the Tonight Show and a woman from the Forward was like, she's promoting a stereotype. I'm like, I'm not promoting a stereotype. I'm doing my mother. That's exactly what she said.
Right.
And that's how she said it.
Yep.
If you think that's a stereotype, that's on you. But I'm literally talking about my Jewish mother in the middle of nowhere where they have no idea what a Jew is.
Right.
And I'm doing, you know, the Jewish National Fund and the Jewy rich women, the Lions of Judah and they realize I'm a lesbian or they find out, you know, they see a special I did and I don't know if I was fine before. Could you not talk about that? It was really disheartening because I was the same person. I was the same person and the same comedian, and
getting laughs and
right.
So you had a very different experience than me.
Do you think it's because you're male? No, I do. I really wonder that.
I don't know. When Leo, my husband, said we need to control the narrative of you coming out. And we spoke with Variety magazine.
Right.
She did a whole piece. He's like in my DMs, sees this woman who's a writer for Variety, who's a huge fan. And he says, you want to come to Modi's show? He'll be in LA. We said that she came to the show. She comes over afterwards. Love you. Da, da, da. And then Leo goes, I'm his husband. And her jaw dropped. And she did a whole article on me, and then we did a whole bunch of articles in the Jewish world, so we can control. Rather than did you know, and it all came out very very positive, and I still get calls and bookings for all kinds of very Jewish organizations, and so
that's
yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah,
I mean, I have.
We had two different experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I have
don't
to
think
say,
it's because I'm a male.
You don't? You don't think the Orthodox community embraced you more because he's a
Orthodox,
man?
Orthodox, yes. First of all, it's anything with a woman like that. They have a woman. They can't hear women singing.
Oh, my God. Henry. Thank you. That's my son, Henry. Thank you. Nice Jewish boy. Please marry a Jew. Please marry a Jew. Please marry a Jew. Please marry a Jew. Please, 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 please. Thank you, Henry.
Please marry you. What is the amount of work that has to go into what you have to do right now?
I didn't
what
ask for
that?
It's a drip thing. It's apparently very excellent coffee. Yeah, it drips right in.
Very
I love
nice.
This place. I don't know.
So the answer is yes. You did probably. It's harder for an Orthodox audience to people organizing the event to bring a woman, and you curse.
You gotta stop with the cursing.
But you do.
Right.
So it's the big problem. It's a big problem on an Orthodox room that you cannot curse.
I do a lot of shows where I do not curse. Where I'm.
Oh, you can do not curse.
Oh my God, I'm in the Bima. I have the Torah behind me. Okay, yes. Okay. I do not curse. They're always like, you know, she's got to be clean. I'm like, really?
Just so you know, I've done shows with Judy. I remember being in the back of Caroline's comedy club, and it was a corporate event, and they came there, and they told us, hi, it's a corporate event, and it's whatever, the Morgan Stanley's whatever, merger acquisition division, and the in the front row is the vice president. She's a lesbian, and we prefer nothing to be mentioned about it. Judy comes on,
no.
looks her in the face, and says, so you eat pussy.
No, I didn't.
Literally, and it wasn't once, it wasn't twice, it was a few times. Whatever you tell her not to do, she will do. And don't tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm saying that they gave
me... It's in the context.
No. No, this is what happened. They gave me a list of things I wasn't allowed to say or talk about, right? Was I hosting?
I brought you up.
And nobody
knows how to manage silence on stage better than Judy Gold. So she gets up there like this and they're just taking her in. And then she just turns to her. So you eat pussy. In front of the entire office. Her whole office knows she's a lesbian. She's probably kind of in the closet.
I read the entire list of things that I wasn't allowed to do.
And did all of them.
And then they were like, do not talk to anyone. Do not pick anyone out. And I was like, oh, what's your name? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. That was my whole set. I just did exactly what they said I wasn't supposed to do. Don't tell a comedian what they can and cannot do on stage. And
or,
I wasn't getting paid that much.
Or
yeah.
Tell the comedian, don't look in the women's eyes and you'll get a fat check.
Right. I get more pleasure.
I'll work with you.
I get more pleasure from being oppositional. Okay. When did you know it was time to quit that Merrill Lynch and go for this, you know, dream of...
I was at Merrill Lynch and I was doing well and I kept trying to leave and they kept like bringing me with whatever... they kept giving me positions that was easier to take... To have more vacation and be able to leave for the weekends to do road gigs. And then I left. And I'll give you again, Mashiach energy. They were doing layoffs. And I said to the boss, because I was going to go on tour for a few dates with Neil Sedaka.
Love Neil.
And so... I said, I really want to go on tour with him for this bout he had in New Jersey. And I went into the guy's office and I said to him, I really do need to quit this time. And he says, guess what? Earlier today we found that we have to have 8 layoffs. I'm laying you off. And he laid me off.
You got unemployment too?
It was Cobra and this and
that's not fair.
I could not believe, like, I had no idea. Then I get to my desk and the woman from HR called me and she goes, you have a year of insurance. You have half your salary for the next year. You have we'll still do the 10% of into your tax, into your, they buy you stock in the
company,
yeah, which went nowhere. And someone's job was saved. And that was that, but that's when I knew I wanted to go on tour with Neil Sedaka. But I was already working. I already had a steady flow of income. I was very, very lucky.
You're really lucky.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's annoying. Because I'm not.
If you keep saying that, you won't be.
It doesn't. You know what? I'm sick of that shit.
No.
If you keep saying you're fat, then you'll be fat. If you keep saying that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Do you really believe that that matters?
100%. What you speak happens. Are you crazy? That's why I take things out of my bits. Oh my God, watch George Carlin's last set, right before he died. Watch what he says, and then he dies. A few weeks later. Be very careful with your words.
Oh, God.
So strong. Oh, my God. The Torah. The Torah, you know abracadabra?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the magician says abracadabra and it's a goat or whatever the hell they do on. I hate magic. And don't you hate magic? We'll go back to that. But it abracadabra comes from adabil v'kayem. I will say and it will happen. That's from the Torah.
Right.
You know, what you say happens. I hate magic.
I can't believe.
You hate
that
magic too?
No, that I just bought oceanfront property on Cape Cod, this $5 million home. I just can't believe I just did that. Because I have a big windfall coming from my new film that I'm filming.
Yes.
It's just amazing.
And believe it and keep saying it.
I can't believe I got 10 Netflix specials. Isn't that amazing?
Insane.
Yeah.
And they're all amazing.
Well, it's one every 2 years.
Yeah.
So, and I could do whatever I want. They said I can do whatever I want.
Do it.
It can be as long as I want it to be.
Make sure to do that whole thing before the special where they sit in the green room with everybody that they know.
Right. And they all just sit around and...
I hate that.
I know.
Just start your special. No one wants to see you sitting in the green room drinking with somebody.
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
You talk a lot about the difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, okay?
Yeah.
In your act. I grew up very Ashkenazi.
Shocking. I would never. I thought you were Moroccan, at least Algiers maybe, Algiers?
You're a Sephardic, do you?
No, I'm fully Ashkenazi.
You are? You look so Sephardic.
No, I speak Yiddish fluent. Are you kidding me? Why do I make fun of Ashkenazis and not Sephardic? Because I'm Ashkenazi. If I went on stage and made fun of Sephardic people, I'd be murdered. And it wouldn't be cute. But you make fun of that,
here's the thing I don't get.
Yeah.
On Passover, okay?
No, I mean, could you imagine how much... No, I got to put this in here and turn it. What do you guys do when you have a chas v'sholem, a comic with arthritis?
Wait, I have to have a sip of my coffee.
Let me help you here.
Yeah, okay.
It literally came with a...
Elohim,
Shehakol.
What is it?
Shehakol.
Shahakol.
Nia.
Nia.
Bidvaro.
Bidvaro.
Maccabi.
Maccabiah.
Maccabiah.
Maccabi.
So good, right?
Yeah, it's good. I
love coffee. He loves coffee and he hates magic. That's what we learned tonight. With
I don't understand why Sephardim get to eat peas and rice during Passover. It's
Could
not fair.
It is, no
and beans. They can have beans, peas, and rice.
I don't
and
know.
And we can't. I don't understand. It's a religion. Why do they get to eat that? Anyone? Any rabbis here?
It's
any?
Custom. You don't have to look out in the audience. I'm right here.
Well, I decided I can eat rice and peas on...
You can also eat pork and ham if you want on you
do. No, I can't.
So
I can't.
We are not the chosen people, in case you're wondering. We're the choosing people. You choose what works for you. Yeah, you want to cover your hair and wear pants. You want to do this and your elbow, but you're wearing a mini. Everybody does whatever they want. You want to wear a yarmulke only when you eat in a kosher restaurant. And it's the craziest thing we have, no? It's insane. We're the choosing
you
religion.
You don't think other religions are choosing religions?
I don't think they
I'm
have
gonna
it.
Go. I'm gonna have a pulpit and talk about how much I hate gay people, and then I'm gonna have a young boyfriend waiting for me backstage.
But I'm talking about in terms of Bapoil in action,
right?
You know, someone who's Catholic just goes to church. You go to church, and then you have to believe that gays are evil. That's all you have to do, and you're Catholic,
right?
You don't have to go home and make hamotzi and you know.
Do you,
Oh, the coffee's kicking in.
Moshiach energy, baby.
Yes.
So you got interviewed by this rabbi. Okay.
Oh, yeah. 14, 18, something like that?
I don't know when the fuck it was. Let me see. I meant when the heck it was. David Beshevkin.
Okay. Yeah. And
I just want to read a comp. Like, this pissed me off so much. I want to see how you react to this.
Go ahead. Let me hear.
In a recent podcast hosted by Rabbi David Beshevkin, Modi, who is married to a non-Jewish man, mm-hmm. says coming out was Mashiach energy. Beshevkin, who teaches at Yeshiva University, NCSY, and writes for Mishpacha, did not push back at this confusion of values. It is unfortunate that he fails to see the danger of promoting someone who openly lives in violation of the Torah and seemingly believes that his coming out will somehow bring the final redemption.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much shit like this do you get?
Oh, we get cute. I love it. I can back at them with no problem. I have no problem with them at all. And Beshevkin didn't push back because it was an interview. You don't push back. And
right.
I don't know what his real thoughts about it is, but it was Mashiach energy because it's the gay kids, when they go to their parents, mom, dad, look, I'm gay, you know, like that comic you went to go see last night. I'm like that. I'm like him, just not as funny as him. But... It enabled kids to many kids wrote to us to me and Leah. I don't read my emails. Leah showed me that all these kids are writing to us, telling us that it made it easier for them to come out to their parents. It gave them, you know, someone who their parents love.
Modi.
Yeah, that's the shift energy.
This happened to me, you know, like in the 90s. And then these kids wait for me after the show.
Right.
And they say... I didn't know I could be Jewish and gay and have a family.
Right.
And you know, you see, and they're like 30 years old now.
Yeah.
And parents saying, my daughter, I'm never forget this one parent. I was in Florida. She's like, I was doing 25 questions for a Jewish mother, which was one of my off-Broadway shows based on interviews I did with Jewish mothers. And this mother is waiting. She's waiting for me. She's like, my daughter's gay. I don't know what to do. What do I do? I'm like, nothing. You do nothing. You had your daughter. She was born perfect. It's not about you.
Right.
It's not about, but you do. The representation is so important.
Yep.
And I remember when I was doing 25 questions, and that was in, 2007? people would come and bring their parents to the show and then come out to them afterwards. And people would write me letters and say, I stopped practicing Judaism and I'm going to start again because I didn't realize I could do. And you really don't realize the impact you have on people. And then yet, you're performing for these motherfuckers. Okay, so...
They're not motherfuckers. The ones that are motherfuckers are not coming to the show. You put... Change your speech. It's not... They're not motherfuckers. They're not the...
The ones coming to the show are not.
She's got me cursing. Isn't that horrible?
I know. Aren't I the worst? I got Florence Henderson to say the word cunt.
No.
Yes, I did. I swear to God, it was the greatest... Look at them all. I didn't know it was going to be like this. She is disgusting. No, I'm just saying when you do the privates where you know what their political, you know, their affiliations are, like you don't, you're just like, I'm getting my check. I don't care.
It's not like that, but it's not, they're not, their main goal in life is not to destroy the gays. When you do organizations, it's for charities. It's for, they're raising money for cancer. Raising money for Israel, for ambulances, for hospitals. They're not sitting there. We're raising money to kill the gays. It's not like that. It's not their main. If you look at a regular Jewish audience, their main thing is Israel.
I agree.
So in your head, you've, because of your speech, think that they are all anti-gay and want to kill you, but they're not. They're there for this event. And so you get into your head before you get on stage.
No, I am, you know, I've heard you say I'm more Jewish than I am gay. And
yes.
People have asked me this question, is the most annoying question. Are you more Jewish or are you more gay? I am a Jew. My body is Jewish. My hair is Jew. The way I think, what I eat, how I speak, everything about, I am a Jew. It's my DNA and I'm gay. That's who I love. That's my sexual orientation. But I am, first and foremost, a Jew.
Okay.
And I will stick up for the Jews. I mean, I am at this point now where people who I abhorred politically are sticking up for the Jews.
Yes.
And you know what? God bless them.
Yes.
I have a new, my eyes have been opening because... As Elisa, my lover, says, my first thing is, are they going to defend us? Are they going to protect us? And that is number one. And I'm going to have to agree with that, that we're in this situation now where I only want to be around people who believe Israel has a right to exist and defend itself.
100%.
And Jews are not the enemy. We are 0.2% of the population. And we have contributed so much to this world. You know what? If you hate Jews so much, live without all the contributions they've made, okay? And see how your life is.
Yeah.
But I have had a change. I've had a change.
It happens.
Right. But you, okay, one last thing. You've performed for AIPAC. And
never.
No, I
I've
thought
never
it was.
For AIPAC.
Oh, I thought you just performed and Mike Johnson was there.
Yes.
And you had to follow Mike Johnson, who hates the gays.
And the year
then
before.
Then I'll be done with the gay topic. I know you're all like, I'm done with the gay topic. Okay, but
yeah.
Was there any point where you wanted to just...
I performed.
Someone yelled, kill him? Yeah.
So I performed. I got a phone call. And Leo obviously manages everything, and with our touring agent, and we got it, and we didn't really realize
like Sonny and Cher,
what it was.
You know? Yeah.
It's a step. No, she didn't manage him. She managed him.
No, Sonny did everything.
Oh,
and
did
then
he?
Cher, yeah.
No, but he sang with her on stage.
He doesn't do it.
I got you, babe.
Hey,
I got you, babe.
Okay.
Seth Rudetsky. No one knows who the hell that is.
Yeah, they know Seth. You know Seth.
Key change. Okay. No? You
yes,
got that
they
one?
Know
yes.
Him.
All right.
Tell us about the Mike Johnson thing.
Okay. So we get a phone call to perform for it's 1,000 Jews in Las Vegas. It's called It's called the Republican Jewish Coalition. Okay. And they, as Henry would say, you would have taken the gig. And I'm actually gonna request you for next year for there. It's 1,000 Jews. It's 1,000 Jews. And when I tell you money, you can smell it in the room. These are Jews that are putting up $20 to $30 million for whoever they want as a candidate so that they have their cell phone when they're in office.
And don't have to pay taxes. Yes.
Whatever, for whatever reason or whatever they need. But just so, the vibe of the room.
Right.
It's set up.
How
like
many? How many women versus and men? How many?
It was 50-50. It was there. Oh, everybody's really? There with their wives.
Who did you look at? Okay, go ahead.
It wasn't that. Know your audience. It wasn't that at all.
Okay.
So they the year before, not this past year, the year before, all the candidates came out to say that they're running. Nikki Haley announced she's running for president. Yeah. Mike Pence, DeSantis, all of them. And then at the end, here's Modi. Literally. They all come on, and I did my act, and I did the room, and I told them at the end, hey, you know, it says Republican Jewish Coalition, but the main thing is Jewish. Make sure whoever you are bringing into the White House has Mashiach energy. That's how I ended the show, okay?
And then they all were like, oh my God!
But I will tell you, last year and this year, when they got up and spoke in front of this audience, they knew their audience. No one ever mentioned abortion. No one mentioned gay. No one mentioned guns. They all mentioned Israel. They all got up there, and they had like that sizzle reel. You know, Nikki Haley was the UN ambassador,
right?
And she never met a mayor. And during the Israel, and you moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And then Mike Pence, he was so proud to be a part of it. And they only Israel. No one mentioned anything else. It was a single issue audience. And this year, the event was a week after October 7th. Mike Johnson, whose wife has one of those camps to convert the gay kids.
Yeah.
You know those camps that they take the gay kids.
She has a conversion therapy camp.
Yeah, they take the gay kids and make them gayer. I don't know if you've ever seen the documentaries on these gay camps. The kids come out flaming. Flaming. So they had all of them speaking. Donald Trump, I'll tell you a funny story. So all the candidates came out from one side with their little sizzle reel, you know, and they came out and then, hi, Nikki Haley, and Israel has to be defended. And what happened is Hamas is this, da-da-da-da, and they're all just going but crazy. Yes, yes. DeSantis comes out. And that's why any college in Florida that doesn't give da-ba, I cut their money off and boom. And then Trump comes from the other side. And doesn't come out with a scissor, it comes out with that song, I'm proud to be an American.
Proud to be an American.
So when I came on, I did the same thing. I told the guy, give me the song, and he comes out.
Oh, no!
He's so insane. Okay. He comes out with the song, and he just stands like this. He goes, And even when they stop clapping, he's still going. He's like this. And the song's going. It's so unhinged. It's so unhinged. But then he came out and he's like, you know what they're talking about when they're talking about the Abraham Accords, and they're talking about all the candidates are talking about what they did for the Abraham Accords and for getting the embassy down to Jerusalem and for the Golan and the other, there's one other issue.
Yeah.
He goes, I was the president. He's like, they're all selling what they did during my thing. I mean, he's completely unwell. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, wow. I thought he really had it together.
But all of those candidates are.
Right. They're not juggling their questions. They're all in front of that audience. Then they'll go to the gun lobby and they'll be like, guns, abortion.
Yeah. But when they spoke about the issue that these people cared about, which is what you care about, Israel, they were on it. I don't know if Biden even knows the war broke out. He does.
You can't be that hateful.
I'm not. Give it to him. The man, his whole career to be where he is. Good for him. But he's not there.
He's, you know what? One
there.
Of the hostages.
Believe me, I don't want any of these candidates. They're horrible. Well,
they're terrible.
All the choices. I'd rather have the waitress that brought me the coffee to be the president. To be honest, I'll tell you who should be president of the United States of America. I'll tell you right now who should be at the Comedy Cellar. I don't know if you know the Comedy Cellar downtown.
Oh God, just fucking.
Oh my God, there's like five rooms, and there's one woman who's a manager of it, Liz.
Oh, Liz is great.
Liz Furiani.
She should be president of the United States
of America.
Okay.
in a heartbeat, she should be.
I just want to say, on behalf of our current president, who, again, I have mixed feelings about a lot of things. He, one of the hostages' parents said that he called them, and he was as sharp as a tack. So,
yeah.
You got, like, this vitriol about, you know, oh, he doesn't know what to... Look, he is who he is. He's a stutterer.
No, he is.
He's a stutterer.
So am I. So I know.
So
and
a
he's
lot
got a
of
little
his...
Bit-
You know, you see him like sometimes.
I don't know if you. I was in my last podcast with my podcast is called And Here's Modi, and I had on Arthur Luxembourg, a trial lawyer who also is a stutterer. And when you stutter like me, you have tricks. Biden just is too. He forgot his tricks.
Right.
When I say the word, anything begins with an M, L, or S, I can't start my sentence with those letters. So when someone says to me, what's your name? I can't just say Modi, right? So, hi, I'm Modi, because the hi gets it going.
Right.
Right? When I just say, I can't just say Modi. That's why I just said Modi, because I'm already flowing in. You understand? So there's tricks we have, and Biden is just forgot the tricks.
Right.
But he's grasping, you know... When
well,
I'm
he's
angry
doing 100 things at once. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. He's 80.
Right.
Yeah. My mom is 80.
Okay, but there's young 80s. Like, Fauci is a young 80. You know, he's running around. He's, right? There are young 80s.
Fauci, yimach shemo. Are you kidding me? Fauci. That's who you went for?
I'm just saying, he might be older than 80. There are young 80s. Cher is, what? Cher.
Cher's 80.
Okay, what is she, 78, 77? 77. She's the same age as
of
Trump.
Of course, all the ones that knew Seth Rudetsky knew
right.
Cher's age.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of my live podcast with Modi. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel. It is edited by Colin Schmeling. It is marketed and scheduled and everything else by Brittany Jo Soward's Richmond. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me. No, don't follow me on Twitter because I don't. It's X, whatever it is. I just do the Instagram stuff, and I like Threads. I mean, I do. I'm still on the X Twitter shit, but I really hate him. So I'm not happy about it. Also, please go to my website because I am performing near you. I'm performing Christmas Day at Stand Up New York in New York City. In January, as I said, the 12th, I'm at City Winery in New York. On the 13th, I'm at City Winery in Philadelphia. On January 19 and 20, I'm at Off Cabot Comedy Club in Beverly, Massachusetts. So come to my shows. We need to laugh. I want to wish you all the happiest of holidays. Please be safe. Please travel safe. Please be kind. Please, if anyone says anything anti-Semitic, please speak up. Stop ignoring it. We need you, and we're not going to shut the fuck up either. So there you go. And I just appreciate you all. I don't know who's still listening, but I appreciate it. I really do. I know some people listen to the end. I know a lot of people. Whatever. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.